All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz. Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, broadcasting live also on the radio, 1340 AM. As always, we are broadcasting from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studio tonight, or today. Go enjoy some White Claws tonight. Go enjoy some White Claws this weekend. Always make it a drink of your choice. It is fantastic. Drink responsibly, though. Hey, we got the Periscope right now up on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. You can go check that out live in case you want to follow along that way. As always, the podcast is uploaded moments after the show goes off the air. As always, you can go check out fanrunradio.com for a lot of great notes on Tennessee right now. Trey Wallace got some great practice notes. You can follow along with the team as they're making their way through the bye week and so on and so forth. And finally, last but not least, you hear it all the time, go and download for free the Fan Run Radio app that is from your app store, no matter what it is. You can go and download it, follow the show, follow the station wherever you are headed throughout the day. And otherwise, you already knew all that. Guys, hour number one in the books. Looked ahead to some of the sports games this weekend, mainly some of the NFL games. Played a little hot or not hot in regards to some of those NFL teams. Talked a little bit about what Jeremy Pruitt said following his... following his press conference after the Alabama game, kind of talking about closing the gap a little bit, feeling good headed into hour two?
I don't see why not. Feel pretty good.
All righty, tremendous. Well, Chance, what if we go ahead and do this? What if we start out the second hour with a little bit of an opening drive? How about that?
I can do it.
I think we got a good one today, too.
Lots of headlines?
Yeah, you can say that. All right, here we go. First down. Gentlemen, the NBA is targeting December 22nd as a start date to begin the 2020-2021 season, I guess. The NBA Finals, if you remember, ended on October 11th, just about 2 weeks ago, leaving the two participants, so the Lakers and the Heat, only around 2 months playing off, I guess, before the regular season starts again. Some of the players have been very critical of this, saying that, hey, that is not enough time. Some people have been critical of the players, saying, hey, but you kind of just got, you know, about 6 months off, 5 months off, whatever it was. Where do you guys kind of stand on this? What do you think about this December 22nd start date that has been proposed by the NBA?
Well, I mean, but you have some teams that haven't played since March. I mean, the teams that didn't make the bubble, they've not played since March.
That's a great point.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I had seen a couple weeks ago that it didn't look like they were going to start until after the first of the year, so January. But, I mean, to me, it kind of makes sense for them to start around Christmas and have Christmas Day. I mean, that's one of the NBA's biggest days.
It is. Chance, what do you think about this? Some of the players are proposing for a start date of January 18th, which would be Martin Luther King Day, which I imagine there is both cultural references to starting on that day, but also just in kind of the framework of, hey, we do want a little bit more time to kind of heal our bodies. But Brandon's right. There's also teams who they're almost going to go 9 months without stepping on the basketball court.
Yeah, it's kind of, you're in that gray area. Like you say, you got the teams that's been out for much longer time that'll be fresher than you got the playoff teams who, you know, I get it. They want a little bit more of a break. Their bodies, I mean, it's like the same when they gave them, what, a full month, almost a month and a half to get ready for the bubble season. I like the idea of just starting on Christmas Day. I like that idea of just moving forward in general. A lot of people don't really tune into the NBA. I mean, we watch it when it first starts, but a lot of people don't really get into it till Christmas Day, because it's when you have the marquee matchups and that's when the season really kind of feels like it gets going. But I like that idea, but I wouldn't be against them pushing it back to January. I understand the players' perspective, and this will likely be the last season where they're going to be pushing anything back like this, because then they'll have to get back on track with the normal season.
So
this could be the last like really weird season that we have in NBA and MLB and all other major sports.
Yeah, and then last kind of thing on it, which I thought was interesting, Danny Green spoke with the Ringer NBA show and suggested that some of the players might even skip out on the early portion of the season if it starts on December 22nd. Here's what he said, quote, I think most guys, if they say we're starting in December, I think they're like, I'm not going to be there. If I had to guess, because we have a lot of vets on our team, it's not like we have a bunch of young guys and rookies. We'll probably have three or four young guys and rookies, say we're fortunate enough to bring the same team back. We have Rajon, who's on year 15, Dwight, who's in year 17, LeBron, who's in year 18. These guys just played a whole season. Bron's been in the finals 10 years out of his 17, yada, yada, yada. He basically just went on to explain how long his teammates have been in the league. But he's got a point. And he's saying that some of these guys might end up skipping out. It would be unfortunate, though. Like, the only thing I can think that's worse than, you know, having to wait that much. I guess having to wait isn't that bad of an idea. But I also don't really like the idea of, yeah, starting back on Christmas. Maybe getting, what, Lakers versus Heat, maybe rematch. And LeBron, AD, Rajon, some of those guys not be out there. Like, that would be unfortunate if you were going to start on Christmas, but then didn't have a chunk of your top superstars for some reason. Because I guess they were in the bubble.
Yeah, but I mean,
sometimes you just got to start, though.
Yeah, you just got to, I mean, whether you like it or not, you just got to, those, that's just how it goes.
Yeah. Second down. Gentlemen, Thursday Night Football tonight between the Panthers and the Falcons. Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey will not play tonight versus the Falcons. He does continue his streak of being out with that injury. McCaffrey did return to practice on Monday, and on Tuesday was given a designation to return from injured reserve. But because it was a short week, McCaffrey did not go through a full practice. The team opted to exercise caution, so he will be out. If you have Mike Davis on your fantasy team, shout out. You get to use him for one more week. But the return of CMC will have to be postponed for 1 week.
Not surprised. Like, you got to be careful with a franchise player, right? Can't rush him back. We've seen he is your offense.
Yeah. I would think so.
I feel like they're going to still split carries for a while because Mike Davis has played well.
No, he has played well.
And, shoot, yeah. What's his name? Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule likes Mike Davis a lot.
He certainly does. Let's see. What is it? Third down? Guys, it looks like, according to sources, the Big Ten has nixed a proposed deal that would have allowed Nebraska to replace its canceled game this Saturday against Wisconsin with a game against FCS foe Chattanooga, sources have told ESPN. Nebraska's scheduled Big Ten game with Wisconsin was canceled after a Wisconsin team-related activities were paused this week due to an increased number of COVID-19 cases. Nebraska, who has not been out of the headlines before for trying to reschedule games, they are back. They're trying to put together a last-minute replacement. They had put together a deal in place to face Chattanooga, who lost to Western Kentucky 13-10 last week. It was the Mocs' only game they played this fall. The Southern Conference voted to play its season in the spring. Chattanooga's next scheduled game is February 20th. So, what, Nebraska tried to get everything going? They had a deal in place, and then the Big Ten came through and said, no, no, no.
Yeah, according to UTC Athletic Director Mark Wharton, he said that we were in talks. We went through many levels of approval with the Big Ten and lost the final approval. Said there were no... specifics. But yeah, apparently the entire Chattanooga football team tested negative last night and then found out this morning they will not be playing Nebraska.
Ooh.
Seems like a bummer. You know, yeah. It seems like if Nebraska did have every ability to kind of put this game in place. And again, like we talked about how, you know, at the end of last week, I believe you had 45 college football games all be able to be played, and only one was postponed. I know that, you know, we do have cases rising according to some of the news, but man, it seems like college football for the most part has been very diligent, and some of the guidelines and some of the things that they've been practicing, feels like college football has done a good job of, man, kind of protecting their players and keeping the players safe. It's unfortunate that this didn't work out, but I don't know. Either way, I guess Nebraska will hopefully play again next week. Guys, last down, fourth down. Was anybody able to scoop Antonio Brown on their fantasy team?
I did. In one league.
Good for you. I did in one league, and the rest of them, he was gone.
Yeah, most of my leagues, he was gone as soon as the news hit.
Antonio Brown, who is the newest Tampa Bay Buccaneer after he signed a one-year deal with them over, during the week. According to Tampa Bay Bucs coach Bruce Arians, the wide receiver, quote, looked fantastic in his first day of work with the Buccaneers. He said this, quote, he looks fantastic. I think we had a really good conversation today, he and I. He was in the meetings and everything. He's been working out with Anthony Paroli and the strength staff. He looks in great shape. Yep, ready to go next week. Antonio Brown.
He's going to come back and score like four touchdowns.
Will make his return next week for the Bucs. Does this make them... Look, I know in the... First off, I think picking your Super Bowl favorite right now is a little difficult. There's a lot of teams who are contenders. Do the Bucs stand out with the potential of Antonio Brown maybe more than anybody else in the AFC right now?
I mean, I think... I don't think them adding Antonio Brown really... I don't think it changes all that much, really. I mean, I think they're a good team before. I kind of see this as a... Okay, this could help us out in the long run and help us get to a Super Bowl, but I mean, I don't know if it's going to work out. I mean, when was the last time we saw him with the Patriots?
Yes.
And that I think I'm pretty sure it was Patriots.
Oh, yeah, because he signed to the
Raiders. It was the Patriots, and then they had to cut him because all the scandal stuff happened.
Yes. It was the Raiders and then the Patriots.
They went crazy for a while. I'm with you, Brandon. I don't really know if it'll work out, but I mean, it's not like you're going to need to depend on him, and I think his role is going to be very limited, at least from a starting point. I think, if anything, he's brought in just as much for COVID insurance and just with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin both struggling to stay healthy at times this year. It's just some more depth you can add that's very quality depth, but I don't think he'll have a big role to start off.
Maybe not a big role, but he's very low risk, high reward right now for the Patriots, but for the Bucs.
Guys, I think y'all might be maybe sleeping on this a little much. I know they got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You're right, certainly provides a little bit of depth. But think about it. When they go three wide receivers wide, you have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown if he's going to be healthy and stable in that role. And that's Antonio Brown over Scotty Miller. That is a completely different way that the defense has to guard you, I think. And now you got to be worried about this guy, Antonio Brown, who can now shoot out from any kind of different position. I think just upgrading him above Scotty Miller in that three wide receiver set completely changes what the defense has to approach you with.
You know, I could be wrong here. I don't really know, at least the first couple weeks, how much he would be that third receiver in a three wide receiver set. Just because Scotty Miller has actually built a pretty decent rapport with
Tom Brady, and is
a more natural slot receiver.
I don't think they'll go away from Scotty Miller just because of what you said. He has been a very nice piece for Tom Brady, but I just think that, man, when you can put those more receivers out there, you can spread out the defense, you can make them have to cover different guys that maybe they weren't expecting to in certain ways. I think it's a big move for the Bucs, but again, we have to see what he looks like on the field first. Guys, that is your opening drive for today. A nice Thursday, nice rainy Thursday, that is. A lot of the schools canceled today. Did you guys see that?
Flooding.
For flooding.
Where is it flooding?
Knox County was 2 hours late because of the flooding. I mean, it's just flooding all over Knoxville. Whenever it rains really, really hard in Knoxville, like, we get flooding.
But, like, where is it flooding in Knoxville?
Probably right down here.
Right down here. Pond Gap. Yeah. Also,
Beaver Creek right next to Powell was
Sutherland floods kind of bad.
It overflowed.
Western, Middlebrook will get really bad.
The street outside of our radio station gets bad.
Yeah. The strip will get really bad, too, when water. Right there on North Shore. North Shore is the worst in Ebenezer area. They won't let you through there. They'll put up signs and actually close off roads. Those are some of the worst areas.
Man, did you guys
hear further this? You go west towards Farragut.
Speaking of local stories, Sixth Down.
Sixth
Down.
Okay.
Did you guys hear this story about the Knoxville hiker who was found safe in the Great Smoky Mountains?
They found him safe?
Yes, they did find him safe.
Correct. That's
good. But Brandon, this was one of our people. This was a Powell resident.
Yeah.
So it says here, this is according to Channel 10, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park said the search and rescue crews found Fred Braden Jr., 56 years old, Wednesday around 4 p.m., saying he did not sustain any major injuries from his overnight experience in the backcountry. More than 30 people helped in the search. Responders searched more than 20 acres off trail and more than 30 miles on park trails. But it said he was reported missing around Tuesday, 7 p.m. So they found him yesterday afternoon. He's home safe. Good
Maybe
for him.
Maybe he's listening.
But he's a Powell resident, so he's one of ours.
If you're listening, we're glad
we
should have
gone and helped our Powell people.
What are you going to do?
We're going to go
search. You're going to go scour the Great Smoky Mountains? No, you're not.
Brandon, over 30 people helped in the search. This could have been us.
Trained professionals.
Diligent. Brandon, No, these were volunteers. We should have been diligent. If we're going to be a part of the Powell community.
You going to go up there, Rick? We're going to drop you off snipe hunting 2 days ago.
All right, fellas, here we go back here on the Blitz, 11:20 a.m. Hey, wanted to tell you this next segment right here, brought to you by our friends over at Smarter Searches. Smarter Searches is an award-winning digital marketing agency that combines performance and creativity for incredible results. Locally owned and operated, Smarter Searches is Knoxville's top full-service digital marketing agency. Appearing on Google is essential in the success of your business. Smarter Searches will offer insight, strategy, and creativity to help you reach your goals. No matter the industry, Smarter Searches has you covered for all of your SEO, web design, social media management, and PPC needs. Plus, there is no outsourcing whatsoever. Everything is done in-house. They help business transition to a more online-focused strategy in a brand-new, contact-free, touchless world that we are in. Here's what they say. Our approach is to focus our marketing strategy around understanding your customer first. That's what it is. They want to get to know you. Then once they do, they want to go ahead and set aggressive and attainable goals for you and create authentic marketing and advertising pieces that will drive profit for your business. Hey, if any of this sounds interesting to you, then go to our friends at Smarter Searches. Let them help you with what you need to do today because trust me, they will get it done. Again, that is Smarter Searches. Check them out today. All right, gentlemen, about halfway through the second hour of the program today, just kind of jumping around the sports world. What do you want to get into here? I guess we can talk a little bit more about this Tennessee football team if you want. Kind of talk about some of the follow-up conversations that Jeremy Pruitt has had throughout this week and detail what Tennessee's actual practices will look like this week. Talk a little bit about Tennessee basketball or somewhere else.
Well, I found this the other day.
Okay.
Power 5 teams last top 10 wins. The last time that Power 5 teams have gotten a win over a top 10 team.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Would anyone like to take a guess when Tennessee's was?
2007.
Close.
2005.
2004.
8, actually.
You're all around it.
6.
9.
Yes, 2006.
Yes! Oh, wait, that's not good.
October 7th, 2006, when Tennessee beat number 10, Georgia.
Oh, so it was right on the edge, too, number 10.
Now, Power 5 teams' last top 10 wins. Here are some of the other ones that we are keeping company with.
Okay. Is this going to make me feel better?
No.
Oh.
Kansas. January 3rd, 2008, they beat number 5, Virginia Tech. Maryland.
Oh, God.
November 10th, 2007. Oh, they beat number 8, Boston
Ralph
College.
Friedman, Dave,
I thought
baby.
You were
going to
stick
Terps.
With SEC. This is brutal.
Vanderbilt.
Okay, there
oh,
we go.
No.
October 20th, 2007. They beat number 6, South Carolina.
Oh, after us.
Rutgers. October 18th, 2007. Oh. They beat number 2, South Florida.
Just twist the knife.
Colorado. September 29th, 2007, they beat number 3, Oklahoma.
Tremendous.
Then you have Tennessee. Now here's the ones that are longer than us. Virginia, October 15th, 2005, they beat number 4 Florida State. North Carolina, October 30th, 2004, they beat number 4 Miami. Duke, September 30th, 1989, they beat Clemson, who was number 7 at the time. And then just to stick the knife in and twist it one more time.
A little bit.
Wake Forest is the they have the longest streak of no wins over a top 10 team. Theirs goes back to October 26, 1946, when they beat number 4 Tennessee.
Hey, cheers. At least we're not them, right?
When they beat number 4 Tennessee.
Tremendous. Oh, wait.
When they beat number 4 Tennessee.
Yeah, I wasn't listening.
In 1946.
Oh, my God. Now that sucks.
Now, I'm sure everybody's parents told you when you were young, you got to watch the company you keep.
Yeah.
Can't be hanging around with you got to keep good friends. You got to have good friends. Don't be hanging around the bad crowd.
Absolutely.
I think this applies to this list. How can you be taken seriously as a football program when you're on a list with these schools? These schools. Wake Forest, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, Colorado, Rutgers, Vanderbilt, Maryland, Kansas, Tennessee.
Does that to you speak? I know that speaks to how bad of a shape this program has been in the last decade, how much turmoil this program has gone through. Does this, and here's the thing I struggle with, and this is a thing where, you know, I don't know how much you guys talk to people who are out of the state, but I talk to a lot of people out of the state. And, I mean, for the most part, I didn't know any other Tennessee fans growing up. I met them when I came here. When I talk to my friends outside of the state, when I talk to people who are in sports outside of the state, and I try to tell them about, you know, the powerhouse that Tennessee once was, and, you know, it's just a matter of time before that gets back. And, hey, college football needs Tennessee to be good. Once it gets back, once Tennessee gets back good, they're just going to go right back into to the spot that they had carved out for themselves back in the 90s, like I was told about. But the reality is that when people from outside of the state look at us, depending on their age, they're not looking at that. No one's saying, oh, you guys were great? Like you had a nice little niche carved out for you that you're just going to walk back into? I don't remember that. And that's the tricky part. Like that is the tough part. Is I know that you can talk to a lot of maybe people who are, you know, in their 30s and 40s or older who will say, you know, there certainly was once a time where Tennessee was in that powerhouse position. But as I've been saying for weeks now, there is this new generation of Tennessee fans that you have to take into consider that haven't seen Tennessee be that powerhouse, that have, and not even non-Tennessee fans, just sports fans who are less than that, who don't look at Tennessee in the same way that we do as just a dormant powerhouse right now. They're looking at them as an SEC team.
Would you say that Tennessee right now is still a top 10 or even top 15 most relevant team in football?
Most relevant right now?
Yes.
No. I think it's a top 15 job. I think it's a top 15, top 20 job in the country.
Relevancy, like, here's what, because that's contextual.
I see what you're saying.
Because no, I
even
do not
when
think...
we're bad, I feel like we're still relevant because there are people out there that want to tune in to see the dismay or the dysfunction.
Do we feel like that more though because we're in Knoxville?
That's a good point.
Because
like that, nationally.
we live, eat, breathe, and sleep, and not just us. Everybody here in the city, if you're listening to this program, it's because you're an insane Tennessee fan. Like that's what we do. So that's my question is. Is Tennessee still just this dormant powerhouse? Or is there a time where, Brandon, what you're saying, this is now the company we're keeping. We are so far removed from those 90s days that a lot of us have no idea what those looked like. Well, are we a dormant powerhouse, or is this a program that was once great but now has to legitimately work its way back up to being in the eyes of America and college football like that?
I mean, I think, I mean, you have to work your way back up. I mean, it's not going to be handed to you. I mean, and I think it comes down to how committed are you to the football, to getting the football program back to where it was. I think, Chance, you asked the question the other day, do you still consider Jeremy Pruitt a bargain bin head coach? I said yes.
Yeah, along with a lot of other people who agree.
I mean, I don't see how you can say no. I don't. Tennessee has hired bargain bin coaches at every sport throughout modern history, with a few exceptions. When you brought Johnny Majors back, coming off a national championship at Pitt, you went out, you paid him, you brought him back, you saw how that turns out. Goes on, SEC championships, gets set up, Fulmer, yada, yada, yada. Baseball, you did it with Dave Serrano. That one didn't work out. That time you spent, you made the big splash hire with Dave Serrano, didn't work out. The only other time that Tennessee has went out and made a splash hire in one of the major sports is when Dave Hart hired Rick Barnes. And you saw how that turned out. You see how it's turned out now. I mean, now you have Final Four expectations in basketball.
Dave Hart saved basketball.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought Dave Hart saved Tennessee? He did, though. He saved Tennessee basketball.
So at some point, you've got to pony up and go pay somebody. And I mean, I'm not saying that Jeremy Pruitt needs to be fired right now. I'm not saying that. But if and when that time comes, if you want to be taken seriously as a football program, pony up and go pay for somebody. And you can't pay somebody. You can't ask somebody to come in here and pay him $4 million a year and expect him to go to the SEC championship in 4 years. You can't, because with $4 million, you're not getting somebody who's going to come in here and dominate for $4 million a year like you're paying Jeremy Pruitt.
No, I mean, you did finally pony up, and you bought a recognizable name, somebody with success, a big name in basketball when you went out and got Rick Barnes. And it did work. It did. It has worked. It did, but it has worked.
Yeah. Brandon, I'm with you. And that was very well said. We'll pick up that conversation.
You remember who were the bargain bin coaches we were looking at when we did hire Barnes? No, there was some in there.
I feel like Mike White's name was probably in that.
Mike White was in there. That's for sure.
What year was that?
That was 2015. I'm looking at, here was an article in Athlon of 12 coaching candidates.
Yeah.
Chris Holtman of Butler.
Ew.
Yeah, Mike White was
that.
That would have been a great hire.
Chris
Holtman.
Oh, there's some decent names.
Mike White at Tech.
He's at Ohio State now, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's great. I love Chris Holtman.
Mike White at Tech at the time before he took over Florida. Shaka Smart.
Shaka. Archie Miller. That would have
been that. Shaka would have been a. That would have been a big name hire if you gotten Shaka Smart.
Rick Bird at Belmont. That was one that I would have liked.
That would have been a good hire, I think.
Rick Bird would have. He was rolling at Belmont.
Will Wade at Chattanooga. How about
so
that?
So old.
Archie Miller at Dayton, who now has the Indiana job. Ben Jacobson, Northern Iowa. Steve Prohm of Murray State. Bryce Drew of Valparaiso. Oh.
Steve Prohm's a good coach.
Brad Underwood from Stephen F. Austin.
Oh, okay, that would have been the hire.
And the last two names. Richard Pitino and Bobby Hurley.
Also would have been two great hires. So those last three, I mean, yeah. Underwood is slaying it at Illinois.
Guys, let's continue what we did yesterday.
Yeah.
About a little bit of a spooky ghost story from the hill. Really even start? I got that I'm keeping in the dark. You ever been walking around the hallowed streets of the University of Tennessee and you feel like something's a little spooky right next to you? It's like this. Boo! Did it get you?
No.
Okay. Well, I got myself there.
Did I get you?
Here is one of these scary stories from
UT.
I
bet Rick does remind me of the person that has all the scary stuff and it scares them. Have you watched Hubie Halloween yet? Have you? Yeah, you've watched it yet. You're Hubie. You're Hubie. It's a new Adam Sandler movie.
It's really good.
I Netflix do love Adam Sandler.
It's
fun. Good. It's
really
pretty
good. Fun. Adam Sandler. Here we go. All right, ready? You ever been walking around the hill, Brandon?
Not recently.
Notice a scary sight. Crowned by Ayers Hall, built in 1921 in South College, the hill has been home to paranormal sightings for years, the likes of which include a large creature described in many ways. Among those descriptions are a phantom wolf and a cat-like monster that stands on its hind legs.
Oh, yeah, because those two things are the same.
Reports of the wolf spirit tell of its black coal eyes and long, sharp fangs. Those familiar with the story of the spirit refer to it as the Bargest, a product of Northern English folklore described as a spectral hound with huge claws and teeth. A Bargest sighting was said to be an omen of certain death.
I'm not buying it.
Oh, you, okay.
No one has ever seen a
People
wolf.
People have seen it. At the hill.
A
on
wolf?
Our campus.
No one's seen a wolf.
No, a Bargest. That's a wolf-like creature.
Bargest?
Yes. B-A-R-G-E-G-H-E-S-T. Here we go. The feline description of the hill's creature is equally as frightening and otherwise often associated with the Wampus Cat, Brandon.
Oh,
the Wampus Cat. Of Cherokee legend. The Wampus Cat is said to have piercing, glowing eyes and, like the Bargest, a considered a death omen, Brandon.
I've heard of the Wampus Cat.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
No.
You've experienced it?
No.
It crawled up your leg one time?
No.
Followed you back to your dorm?
Never lived in a dorm.
Brandon, a second spirit said to be frequent the sidewalks of the hill is much less scary unless you take off his hat.
Whose hat?
On any given night, Brandon. On any given night, but particularly those around Halloween.
Halloween, Brandon, Halloween.
One might encounter a gentleman walking among students on the steps towards Ayers Hall or strolling around the hill field. The apparition has been reported to wear a celluloid collar and a bowler hat and walks with his head bent and his hands behind his back.
Behind his back, Brandon!
Brandon, though some say he does not acknowledge the students around him, others have seen him tip his hat, revealing a gaping hole in his head. It is thought that the man is a student from the 1930s who committed suicide after his girlfriend left him to marry another man.
She left him.
Suicide.
Red rum.
Does anything bad happen when you see him, or does
does anything
scare you?
Bad happen?
Like, are there consequences? I mean, I'm sure it's terrifying, but are there consequences?
Like, do you get possessed? I don't think so.
Is this like Sensabaugh?
Maybe with the Wampus Cat, you could get hurt.
The Wampus Cat, man. That sounds unsettling.
Brandon, this is not the only spooky and haunted place, though, in Knoxville, is it not?
No, there are plenty.
Oh, good. Plenty. Love it.
Plenty.
Tell me
like the Bijou Theater.
No, not the Bijou.
The Bijou.
Bro, you know the Bijou's haunted. You just know it is.
If any downtown Knoxville building should be haunted,
yeah,
it's the Bijou Theater.
Duh.
Formerly called the Lamar House. Completed around 1817... The 1803 South Gay Street building's been a tavern, a hotel, storefront, Civil War hospital, brothel, restaurant, and theater.
Really?
A brothel?
Brothel. Civil War Union General William P. Saunders died in the Lamar Hotel bridal suite. He'd been brought to the hotel turned Civil War hospital after he was shot during fighting on November 18th, 1863. But it's the spirits of others who have been heard or seen through the years. Footsteps, early morning flashes of light, and ghostly men walking upstairs have been reported. Items fall from or get moved around shelves. The spirit of a vaudeville-era technician has been heard.
Oh, my.
This says that the theater hosts a 30-minute ghost tour, and that you can buy tickets for $10. I don't know if they'd be doing that this year, though.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not this year.
So can the ghost give you an STD?
What?
What was a brothel at one point?
Whoa. Whoa. That escalated. Went from telling wholesome ghost stories to talking about STDs. Read the room, Chuck.
That's scary.
I don't think so. I don't think the ghosts are from the brothel.
Okay.
There's also the Craghead Jackson House.
What? The Craghead?
Yes. Not to be confused with the Crackhead Jackson House.
The Crag.
Ghost stories often involve tragedy, and the ghost said to occupy the 1818 Craghead, or maybe it's Craghead, Craghead Jackson House must have died in pain. Not a great start.
No.
A female servant died just after the Civil War, after her skirt.
Everyone's Civil War.
After her skirt caught fire in the house basement's large fireplace.
How do you think? Oh, you probably doing too many twirls. You know, the big dress skirt caught in the fireplace.
Through the years, people have told of hearing steps on the front stairs and of locked doors being opened. The legend is that the servant's spirit is still in the house. The two-story brick house sits next to Blunt Mansion in downtown Knoxville's Hill Avenue and is part of that historic homes complex. This year, that's basically the end of the story. Mm. So, yeah.
Wait, where is that one?
Downtown. You know where Blunt Mansion is?
No.
I mean, it's like right near Gay Street.
Well, maybe. Not sure.
It's like Gay Street and like, you know where the old Marriott is?
Yes. Yes.
Well, it used to be the Marriott?
Yes.
So
the triangle building?
Yeah. So if you're on Gay Street, look to the left whenever you're like, if you can see that building, it's not quite that far, but it's right there.
So the Bijou's haunted, the Craghead?
Craghead Jackson House.
Craghead.
Craig or Crag?
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
It's got an I. I think it's spelled Craig. C-R-A-I-G-H-E-A-D.
Craig.
A-D.
Craig.
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 Craig
Head.
Craig.
Craig Head.
Craig Heed?
No. Not Craig Heed.
I think it's just Craig.
I got a good one for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think
you
I saved.
Saving that one?
I think I saved the best for last for tomorrow as well.
Baker Peters' house.
Oh.
Yeah, I also got the Strong Hall on UT's campus. Ugh. You guys ever heard of a ghost named Sophie on UT's campus?
No.
Really? This is pretty much the only one that I'd actually heard of before. People talked about this one.
Those are some good stories, guys. Good job.
So,
it got real spooky in here.
Are you most scared of, out of everything you heard today? Craighead, the brothel ghost from the Bijou. Then you have the Wampus Cat or the Barghest. Or the man with the hole in his head. What scares you the most? What ghost?
The future of Tennessee football.
Yes, well, the future of Tennessee football may scare you, but the future of sports betting should not. And I'd like to tell you, those creepy, spooky stories are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is going to give you users $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. They're giving you $50 in free site credit to register, verify early, no deposit required. FanDuel is still America's number one sports betting site for a reason. And the reason is, they don't make you wait for your cash. They'll get it to you in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Also, they've got odds on all of the biggest sports. And the simple, intuitive app told you it's not very complex. Anybody can use it. Hell, Brandon uses it every day. He's been on it. If he can use it, you can use it. And that app, it makes it very easy to find all the bets you're looking for. Big Ten football's back. Pac-12 football is back soon. And then we got college basketball coming up. You got hockey that'll be back. You have the NBA that'll be back hopefully in December or maybe January. So all the sports coming back means even more ways to win, and you want to get in on it now. Tennessee sports betting is right around the corner for all you Tennessee residents. And right now, go ahead and download that Sportsbook app and check out the app for yourself. Don't just listen to us. Be sure to sign up and register. Use promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. That's right, promo code BLITZ, and you'll get the $50 in free site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Promo code BLITZ so they know that the right people sent you to get the $50. And as always, kiddos, must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. The site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 7 days after receipt. Terms will apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem with gambling support, call 1-800-889-889.
9789.
Hey, it's Jamie with Old Ben Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike, and you've heard.
All right, gentlemen, here we go. Final segment of the show today, 11:53 a.m. Talk Sports right outside the door. They're getting ready for their show. It will be great as always. But let's go ahead and close out this show like we always do with a little bit of If You Haven't Heard, and then we'll move into the days of today. I got a quick one to start us off real quick. Let's see. Gentlemen, this actually came out a day or two ago. But more breaking news from it looks like 2 days ago. I just don't think we got a chance to mention it. Florida's football program had 6 new positive COVID tests this week, bringing the team's total for the month to 37. And again, that number could even be more at this point, considering this was 2 days ago. The number 10 Gators returned to practice and meetings started Monday following a 2-week hiatus because of the outbreak. So Florida dealing with a lot of stuff as well right now.
So is their game this week still a go?
I believe it's still a good to go as of now, but certainly anything could happen with these games. Although, actually, all right, so yeah, it's still slated for 7:30 versus Missouri in Gainesville.
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens. Also, if I could point out a funny tweet from AJ Cook, fan-run contributor. Pro Football Focus posted their highest-rated SEC defenses. Number 1, Georgia. Number 2, Kentucky. Number 3, Alabama. And AJ had a good tweet. He said, is Tennessee's offense terrible because they played the top 3 defenses? Or are they the top 3 defenses because Tennessee's offense is terrible? A true classic chicken and the egg conundrum. I thought that was just funny.
I enjoyed that.
I did not.
Well,
the sad reality of it.
Appreciated maybe, not enjoy. I don't know. I'm ready for basketball season.
Yeah, me too. Just don't know when it's going to be.
We don't even have a schedule out. I don't even have games that I can look at and get excited about.
Tennessee, Kentucky. It's out there somewhere. Let's get excited.
No. Got a point there. Got a point. Anybody else got a If You Haven't Heard?
We got to get the days. We only got like a minute left.
You guys right, been really. You guys been slipping with your If You Haven't Heard. I'm just calling
these
you out.
Guys.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about.
And if you haven't heard every time.
Doing the days every day is bailing these guys out.
You can't say every time. You missed it today.
Bailing them out. Coconut milk.
There you go.
If you haven't heard.
You nailed it.
I don't even know what that was about. But anyways, today is National Cat Day.
Yes.
You guys got any cats?
What? The Wampus Cat?
Yeah, we were just talking about the Wampus Cat.
Go down to
the You guys like cats?
No. I love cats.
No, Brandon has trained a stray cat in our neighborhood.
He's not a stray.
Oh, my God.
Can I come play
with him? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Brandon feeds
his name's Boots.
No, Boots.
Shut up. Brandon feeds it every single day, and he's trained it. Now we have this stray cat that comes to our front door every day.
First of all.
I'm sick of it.
Bond with him. Bond with him.
First of all.
There's more days. There's more days.
Trained it.
It's National Hermit Day. It's also National Oatmeal Day. And one that's pretty special to me, and I'm serious about this one. It's World Stroke Day. I lost my mother to a stroke. Key signs. Fast. That means face. Is there any drooping in the face? Arms. Ask the person to raise both arms. Speech. Ask the person to repeat a simple phrase. Is the speech slurred or strange? Time. If you see any of those things, call 911 right away.
Hey, I just learned that for the first time as well. That's great. Hey, have a wonderful day. Keep that in mind going forward. Be good to someone. This has been The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.